This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to Behind the Ropes, where we take you behind the scenes of some of your favorite reality shows. I'm Blake Corson, and I know firsthand how a bad edit can turn you into someone you don't even recognize. Don't be fooled by the glitz and glam of reality television. It's not all sunshine and roses. My buddy Eric and I are setting out to humanize the villains and check in with cast members from your favorite TV shows, giving them a chance to set the record straight. We also recap recent episodes of popular shows and speak to the ever-evolving pulse of the DJ industry, which is a huge passion of mine. So come behind the rose and get your mug ready because we put the T in reality TV. Before we get to our very, 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 very special guest, let's catch up, man. Let's catch
Exclusive interview.
Let's catch up. I feel like, first of all, lots happened
it's been
in
a long week.
In our life, it's been a wild couple weeks.
You would think Darby, we won the fucking Stanley Cup this week.
Yeah, no shit, we would. But first of all, we want to apologize for not having an episode last week. Obviously, we had a lot.
Life happens sometimes.
Yeah. And we tried to make time, but we just couldn't find time to do it. But we still do want to break down Gabby and Rachel's Men moving forward. So we'll do that at some point before the season airs, or maybe the night the season airs. Yeah. So let's get into it, dude. I mean, first things first, we were in New York for Rowdy. We talked about that yet? Oh, we did.
I guess we could start with the game 5 Friday night, the Avalanche pre-party. Then they let us down.
Oh, yeah. I was able to play the NHL official pre-party to about 15, 20,000 people. I don't even know how many it ended up being. It was the last one they did. I got a little too rowdy. But that was such a cool experience. I mean, just to be able to get that crowd.
Speaking of which, Rowdy Energy Drink.
Yeah, shout out to Rowdy. But being able to get that crowd going and hyped for the game, going into game 5, which we all thought we were going to win. We didn't think there was any fucking way we were going to lose that. And then going to the actual game itself, I was a little bit of a, depressed after that, a bit of a letdown. But then, damn, Denver, y'all just showed out anyway for Mile High Spirits that night. It was fucking insane.
You would have thought we won.
Yeah, honestly, it was fucking, the line was three blocks long to get in. It was just, it was bonkers. I think everybody was like, fuck it, we're drinking anyway. Win or lose, we're drinking, So shout out to everybody that still came out to Mile High, even after the L. That was a really fun night. Really, really fun night.
Yeah, after going from such high to lowest lows, back to a high.
Yeah.
That was emotional. I was emotionally drained.
Yeah.
Thank goodness we changed the flight Saturday to the late night flight to Nashville. That was the smartest thing we've ever done.
Because,
that started a fucking gauntlet of a 3-day rager.
We both, first time ever, pits of a NASCAR race. Awesome. Shout out to Hallie, Rowdy Energy,
Kyle Busch,
Samantha and Kyle. Such a cool experience. Something that I've been wanting to do for a very long time. It's just not something you get to do very often. And not many people get to do. So being in the pit, seeing those cars, seeing how intense those pit crews are, just such a cool experience.
It was incredible watching the pit crew jump over walls, running laps, getting how they're stretching, their warm up.
Doing plyometrics.
Yeah, it was so cool. And just seeing, like, there's so much that goes behind a NASCAR race as far as, you know, like the sponsors and then like all the, like, put it this way, the green room of that Nashville NASCAR race was a country music fan's dream.
Yeah, I'm walking down pit lane.
Yeah, I'm walking down stars. Is insane.
I'm walking down pit lane. I run into one of my oldest buddies in the world, Shay from Dan and Shay.
Yeah.
And it's like, you got Kane Brown, Chase Rice. I mean, everyone is there.
It was insane. It was like more artists there than CMAs. Like it was just, it was
pretty much CMA Fest.
Yeah, it really was. It was crazy. All in one spot, like all in one room.
All in one tent. Yeah.
Yeah. All in one tent. So really cool. If you get a chance to go to a NASCAR race, honestly, I mean, obviously there's some really cool NASCAR races out there, but this one has more than just the racing. Like Michael fucking Jordan was there.
Yeah. We're right next to Michael Jordan.
Right next to Michael Jordan. It was crazy. It was just,
I forgot really he owns a team.
I
forgot about that.
Yeah. Just a really cool experience. So if you get a chance to go to NASCAR, first of all, it's loud as fuck. Mm-hmm. Bring some kind of ear plugs or something, because it's so loud.
It's also cold, so wear a hoodie. That was like the first time I'd ever like kind of like, I had a little like where it rolls up on the sleeves and the like around your wrist. I had a little sweat through it.
Yeah,
it was the first time I ever kind of sweated through a hoodie. I was like, it was, well, down there with the humidity on the asphalt with those cars revving and going, like it was probably 130 on that in that.
Yeah. It was between 120 and 130 degrees on that track. Like it was dangerously hot, hot.
Best thing we did was get water out of the tent.
Yeah. God, it was the best water bowl I've ever had. Yeah. Dressed appropriately. We'll just say that, dressed appropriately.
Our guy Kyle went from last place to ended up in second.
Second.
Like
38.
That's crazy.
Second place. He's the best driver at NASCAR right now. I mean, it's just incredible. He's such a good driver. Incredible driver. But then we were planning on just chilling in Nashville, kind of, you know, slept in. We were going to, you know, just kind of like hang out in Nashville, maybe go to a nice dinner.
Yeah, Sunday. Well, we watched the game.
Oh, that's right.
Sunday.
The same day.
After the race, yeah. We go watch the game. They win the Stanley Cup.
We go hard.
Well, we just won again. This is where it all starts.
Yeah, we went very hard. I would say that I thought I had won the Stanley Cup. I was fucking very, very drunk on Broadway, singing "We Are the Champions." Just fucking
paying $100 for these.
I paid $130 or $140 for them to play "We Are the Champions." Like,
and we will rock you.
Yeah, we will rock you. Like, just having a fantastic time on Broadway. Got way too drunk, way too much.
And I stayed Oval out.
Was there? Yeah, you stayed out till 4. Me and G went home about 1. I can say that now. That's so
weird. Yeah, that's how weird is that? That's a weird
moment. You and G went home early.
And then I fall asleep, wake up to a text at like 2:00 in Nashville. Can you boys get here by 10:30? For what? Well, the boys are coming in with the cup at Mile High Spirits to celebrate private player party. They rented out the whole spot. It's like, look at a flight. I'm Blake. We got to meet in the lobby in 30 minutes, dude.
He texted me and I was like, thought he was fucking around. I was like, no, bro, I'm not, that's funny, but haha, no. And then he's like, but it's the cup. And I'm still like, no, he said the Avalanche, you know, victory party. And I'm like thinking it's going to be like fans. And I'm still like, no fucking way, dude. I'm so exhausted. Like I'm so hungover. No way. And then he's like, the cup's going to be there. And I was like, fuck, I have got and to I, go. Got
I
to
was,
go.
I was lucky enough to do this with the Broncos back in 2015. And I told you, I was like, dude, you will regret this if you do not do this. 5 minutes of us walking in, 30 minutes of us landing, we're drinking out of the fucking Stanley Cup.
Like,
we just won the shit.
Yeah.
I grab it. I hoist it above my head. Like, yeah.
Just like we literally fed. It was such a cool, like, I don't know if people don't know this about me, but like I played hockey for 6 years growing up. Like I played with Patrick Waugh's son, with Mark Crawford's son on a team, like travel team. Like I wanted to play in the NHL. I had a wooden Stanley Cup in my backyard that I used to walk around with acting like I won the Stanley Cup. So this moment was just incredible. It was just such a surreal moment. And if you're fans of the NHL, this, and well, sports in general, this is the hardest trophy to win, in my opinion. And most
people, the greatest. It's the most beautiful trophy.
It's the hardest, the most beautiful, the most storied, the most traditioned. You know what I mean? It's just so many cool things around that trophy. So to be able to see it, hold it, drink from it, see the players, what it meant to them. It was a really, really cool night. And that I will never forget for sure.
Yeah, same. I mean, yeah. that might have outdone my Super Bowl experience. Yeah, just the night of the
right
of that, yeah. But we'll see what happens in Vegas.
Yeah. But we
but then Waka Flocka walks in the room.
I was just gonna say that. So yeah. It was like kind of like a brunch style. Like everybody was kind of like mingling and drinking and having fun but not talking, and I was just kind of playing music here and there. And then Waka Flocka walks in. And obviously, if you don't know Waka Flocka, he's like 6'9", like he's a giant human being. He's hard to miss. And he was out serving tacos, you know, kind of like having fun. And then he comes up in the booth and suddenly everybody there has migrated to right. You know, hundreds of people have migrated right in front of my booth.
And like 75 Waka migrated onto the stage.
Yeah. And then the whole entire Colorado Avalanche team is in the booth with me. And I play some Waka and he's on the mic. Like it was just a very cool moment of me like playing Waka. He's fucking rapping and like, you know, jacking, you know, getting the crowd all jacked up and playing We Are the Champions and having the entire Colorado Avalanche team behind me singing it, bumping into me, pushing buttons, hitting the scratch, you know.
I'm standing in front of the table. It almost fell over twice.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I think champagne everywhere. Like,
I think JT Confer is still staring at the DJ controller at Mile High today.
Fucking buttons. I was like, JT, God damn it.
You kicked out the goalie, Darcy Kemper, which was hilarious because I'm talking with him as he walks around. He's like, I was like, Darcy, let's go. He's like, he just kicked me out.
he started over one of my fucking songs right before the beat was, or it was about to drop. I was like, I'll get out of the booth.
Somehow I have that picture of you yelling, like giving him this look, and he's just looking so defeated. Like he just got in trouble in second grade.
Yeah, I swear people don't think that I'm DJing. People think it's a playlist. I'm like, no, if you touch things, it'll fuck everything up. Like, oh man.
I think JT restarted a song like 4 times.
So many times, bro. So many times. And he kept scratching. I was like, damn it, bro. Like right before the beat's about to drop, it's like, and he goes, I'm like, God damn it.
Him and Logan O'Connor did not leave your side all night.
No. But I was basically at this point, I was like, your party, I don't give a fuck. You're at world champs. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, we're here for you.
Yeah, exactly. I'm here for you. If you
did this for the whole city.
20 minutes. Yeah. I was like, you do you. So really cool to hang out with the boys and see how happy it made them and everything.
And that's not where it ended. 2 hours later, we're on a flight back to Nashville.
We're literally in Denver for 5 hours. Head back to Nashville. And have an amazing event with Pandora, Ashley Home Furniture, and I open up for Cole Swindell. Just a really cool opportunity. Obviously, you know Cole a while. I've met Cole a couple times, and just an awesome guy. And he just loves performing for crowds like that. You know, it's like maybe 1,000 people, but it was like awesome. Like he enjoyed it so much. And shout out to Pandora and Ashley. It was such a cool night.
Yeah, and like you said, like that was really kind of a full circle moment for me. Because he was one of the first guys who I had met in country music. But at the time, he was Luke Bryan's merch guy. He wasn't even an artist or a performer yet. He was a writer and selling t-shirts for Luke Bryan.
Yeah.
And like to have that moment, like, you know, you opening for him, like sharing the stage with him was like, that was awesome for me.
Yeah.
That was incredible.
That was a cool moment. Yeah. So shout out to Cole. You know, he's amazing. And I think, you know, hopefully we're going to be able to do a couple more things with Pandora and Ashley. But yeah, all in all, a really fun night. It was a really fun night. One big thing did happen in Bachelor Nation. Let's touch on it real quick.
Oh, yeah.
Katie and John breaking up. I did not see this coming at all. Like this was maybe one of the first blindsides of Bachelor Nation that I've really seen.
I still don't understand the breakup.
Yeah.
Like I haven't reached out to either of them. I want to give them their space and, you know, respect it. But it seems like they're hanging out and still very cordial, which I know. Yeah. Yeah. So I guess she's going on like a trip to like Mexico here.
Yeah.
But yeah, it seems like they're going to maintain, because they were friends first. They were very tight prior to dating. So it's really good to see if they can maintain that, hopefully, because they're both really good people.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I agree. Like this was something I didn't see coming. Like I kind of, you know, felt like Michelle and Nate, you kind of saw coming, you kind of see them coming, but this seemed out of the blue. And yeah, I feel for them both. You know, I think it is even harder to break up with somebody when you're friends first, because you don't want to lose them as a friend. And it seems like they're going to try and remain friends. They haven't spoken. I respect their privacy and I don't want to, you know, speculate anything. But they seem like they're hurting, but they're trying to put their right friendship first, at least. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens moving forward. That's a very hard thing to do, to hang out with your ex right away.
Well, maybe it seems like now, they announced the breakup, and then we're at an amusement park together the next day.
Yeah. Like, yeah. So it's pretty crazy, but more power to them. If they're able to navigate that, awesome. You know what I mean? I'm not going to judge them, whatever. So I hope they're able to navigate it, to be honest. Because, yeah, I mean. So
hopefully they beat the odds of that one.
Yeah. That'd be a more impressive feat than actually ending up with somebody from Bachelor Nation, right?
Yeah.
Dating and staying friends in Bachelor Nation. That's a bigger feat than, fucking getting engaged. So
every Bachelor Nation couple is breaking up. Is there any couple together other than Marty, we still have
Bachelor people, Bachelor
Marty, Kenny, and Joe, and
you're talking the leads?
Or no, I'm just saying, just in general, just like.
Well, Paradise is still. I mean, you still got a lot of people. There's still four just from the last Paradise.
Yeah, just Joe and Serena and Kenny and Mari, right?
No, Abigail, Joe, Serena, Kenny.
Oh, sorry, Abigail, Becca, Noah, Thomas, that's right.
Becca Thomas, Chris and Elena, like a lot.
Yeah, true.
So there's like five still from this last season of Paradise. Yeah,
we'll get into this. Stop doing individual shows.
Yeah. We'll get into this Paradise, guys, when we get there. Let's just say we've heard a lot, and it's going to be really interesting.
That's an interesting season.
Do want to say, give a shout out to Eddie. This is his last podcast with us. We kind of mentioned earlier that he's kind of moving on. So this is the last one with Eddie. We appreciate you, Eddie. Thanks for everything you've done for us and the pod. Couldn't have done it without you, that's for sure. So
very sad that we wouldn't even have the podcast if it wasn't for Eddie. It's all his idea to begin with.
Yeah.
He just doesn't want to work with us anymore.
Would you? If you weren't you, would you want to work with you?
Some days. All of us just have insane schedules.
It's just, too much on our plates. But we're not giving up yet, guys. We're gonna keep at it. We got some fun things planned for this year, but shout out to Eddie for everything. I mean, it's been awesome.
Yeah, I love you, Eddie. Have any departing words for the fans that are here for you?
Well,
slide Eddie's DMs. That's the time, buddy. Throw it out there.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, that's right. I mean, you gotta fish it while you got it. And this will be a big one too with G on and everything. We'll have her 2 million listening. Yeah, listen. Normally I look better than this. I have COVID right now. So
shit.
I can't even see you. But yeah, right. That's a real bummer. Yeah. Right, COVID. You look just the same, buddy.
Oh no. Wait.
Cool. Well, let's get into this awesome episode, guys. We have very, very special guests. Gia Nina, my girlfriend, Gia Nina.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We may have the most special guest we've had on the pod yet in 2 years almost. My girlfriend, Gia Nina.
The biggest secret in 6.5 months.
The worst kept secret, the right?
Worst kept secret.
I didn't even try. Well, I did a little bit.
So what's been going on with you guys?
A lot in the last 6 months.
Everything.
I haven't seen you since yesterday.
I mean, it was as far as like keeping it a secret, like it was hard to like not really have each, not be able to like, we just had to be so careful. So, like I put my shoe in a video, like blocking your face. I had like, I would have to like, sometimes I'd have to delete things because she's in the background or whatever it is. Just, obviously we couldn't really come out before the show aired or anything.
Because we're always together. Like we always do everything together. We go to the gym together. We travel together. So it's like almost impossible to not show him in my life, even if I had to zoom in like 1,000 times just to be like, all right.
I feel like I've been the biggest kept secret in your relationship because I'm with you guys everywhere too.
Yeah, you did good. You're great.
I did awesome. I did that. And then, what's that?
Yeah, some pretty pictures of us and stuff. Yeah.
I want those, by the way.
Yeah. towards the end, though, it was like just started like kind of not caring. There was a little more of Blake's face being revealed in every post.
I was like getting closer. I like showed half his eye or like his lips. I was like just claiming my territory.
And once the cast was dropped for the show, I think people started to kind of put it together. You know what I mean? But first, a lot of people didn't know. Like, we're like, how the fuck did this happen? Like, when did this meet?
Yeah.
You know, but so that was, it wasn't easy, but at the same time, I think it was good.
Great.
Because we were able to live, I mean, I wouldn't say normal, quote unquote, but like, I think we were able to keep the pub, we were able to keep the public out of a relationship for a very long time.
Well, what I liked about it was that people were like, hey, I respect your privacy. And I know that you're keeping it secret, you know, for you, but I'm just letting you know, I'm super happy for you. So like, it kind of forced people to recognize that boundary. And I really like that because we were in our bubble and then people respected that bubble. So I highly recommend.
Yeah. Now the bubble is burst. So we shall see how fucking, you know, people get and stuff.
Yeah. Cause being around you guys and traveling with both y'all, like even when people would come up, they'd like ask for pictures together. You guys are like, no, we have to take them separately. Yeah. We can't be together in pictures. Outside of that, what was like the hardest part of keeping this as low as you could, flying as low as it could under the radar?
I think the hard, go ahead.
Honestly, it's just like supporting you. Mm. And whenever I go to his shows and it's just, I'm so proud and I'm so like, I love it in the first place. I love to go out and party and like listen to this great music. But just the fact that my boyfriend is like being this entertainer and showing people such a great time, I want to show that so bad. And then when I showed you, when we were like with my family and when we do like fun, silly things, but honestly, the hardest thing has just been like not showing all the fun things that we do together.
Such a great point. Like when I'm like proud of her or, you know, she drops like an awesome clothing line that she has, like, yeah, like that would be something I would post about and I'd be excited about. And I wasn't really able to do that, you know? So that's actually, yeah, I mean, I would have to agree with that actually, like just not being able to support each other, you know, on what is something that is big in our life, which is, you know, social media and stuff like that. So it was hard to
like our careers, you know, our lifestyle.
Yeah, exactly. So not bad. That's a good answer for sure. So,
all right. So should we get into All-Star Shore talk?
All-Star Shore.
Where it all began.
So obviously, yeah, with the premiere being this week, first two episodes dropped. Congratulations. I had the pleasure of watching it with you guys this week. And that was fun and awkward at times.
Yeah. Was at times for sure.
So what was the casting process like for both of you guys? How did you guys both get approached to do this? Because you guys aren't a part of the Jersey Shore or like Viacom, Paramount Plus, like family.
Yeah. So honestly, it's like everything else in my life. I feel like it manifested it. I was in Colombia and I was just like already doing all this like adventurous type stuff. And then one day I got a call and it was like, hey, and I couldn't hear anything. The call was like, and it was saying, my team was telling me, hey, you know, there's a chance for you to go out to the Canary Islands and, you know, do a challenge show. And I literally heard Canary Islands challenge show, and then other details. And I was like, sign me up. Done. And I didn't even know like when I was leaving, what was happening. Turns out it was like in less than a month, right after Thanksgiving, like all this stuff. And yeah, I was supposed to live in Europe at the time. Mm-hmm. And I didn't. And so when they're like, you got to go to Spain, I was like, this is perfect. I don't even need to hear anything else. Just sign me up.
Mine was different. I was very terrified. I didn't say yes right away. I got a bunch of emails and stuff. And, you know, we get emails and offers for shows a lot. But usually I don't take most of them seriously. It's kind of, you know, I don't know. It's just they don't sound good or fun or they don't got a big budget, whatever it is. Yeah. And Lori, my agent, she reached out to me. She was like, hey, like, this is actually a pretty big show and they got a big budget and you should look into it. So hopped on kind of a phone call and they talked about some details and everything. And I was like, oh shit. This sounds really fun. Yes. I love the idea of other the stars from all over the world. I love that idea. Yeah. And honestly, the budget was right. Like it was like, I wasn't going to do this for nothing. So they paid, let's just say they paid five times more than Paradise. Yeah.
I remember going through that with you, like you talking about it, like kind of going back and forth in your own head. We were talking and it was like, you know, you threw out a number. They said, yes. You're like, well, shit, you can't go back now. Right.
Yeah, like, exactly. I remember texting you and I was like, bro, I threw a stupid number at him. No way they come back. Because part of me was like, I don't want to do it. And then they came back. They're like, yeah, we'll do it.
That's why I was like, offer high. If they say yes, then you got to do it. Like, yeah, well, you have to lose at that point.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, fuck it.
I was like, I'm going to buy a house.
Yeah, I was like, this is. So I was like, yeah, let's do it. I was definitely not like as much as like, yeah, right away. It took me some time to be able to really decide to do it. But glad I did.
Jesus. I'm just kidding. I know. But now I'm super sad because now it's official. And now I'm just like the loner. Like, we go to Cancun, hopefully, in like a month. I'm going to be by myself, just third wheeling.
No, I thought you were going to bring something, maybe.
Possibly. We'll see. If anyone's listening, DMs are open. Taking applications.
Fuck, that's funny.
But, I remember, like, when you got that call, too, it was like, how the hell did they find your, like, white ass for the show?
I know.
I can say that.
Yeah. Well, totally. And it started to get like spoiled people. Some people, I didn't know she was going to be on, but some, you know, it started to get spoiled who was on there. And I was like, what the fuck? Why did they cast me? And I was like, this is a nightmare. Like, I'm not going to like, I'm so much different than a lot of these people. But I think they needed that. You know what I mean? I think they were looking for somebody to bring a little structure, to bring like some normalcy to this group of chaos, if you will.
Yeah. And that was definitely chaos. So speaking of which, like when you guys first walked on that beach, what were your first impressions of this cast? Because there are some big personalities on this season.
Okay, so of the cast as a whole, I was just like, holy shit. Like, this is going to be very interesting. There's so many accents and things that I, like cultural barriers that I personally love. But I didn't know where I was going to fit in either, because I was starting to hear, oh, you're from the shore. I'm like, I'm from a love show. Like, I can speak Spanish, but I don't know. I can party, but damn, you guys probably take it to another level. So I was very excited. I was a little nervous too. Just because, again, trying to find like your place in there. But everyone just seemed like really fun and nice. And then Angelina walked onto the beach and I was like, oh, damn. She might not be as nice as everyone else.
The queen is here.
I had a really good vibe. But you never know, because I didn't know who had like some, you know, maliciousness ulterior motives. Yeah, I didn't know. So I was a little bit, and you can tell in the first couple episodes, I was a little bit like just observing and like watching the crowd and seeing how everybody was doing.
Yeah. So actually I was kind of scared and intimidated because, like I said, some had been spoiled. So I knew a few of the people down there and they were like huge personalities and really famous in their countries. And I was just like, oh God, what am I doing here? But I agree. I think like right away when we first got down there, the vibes were just awesome. Like everybody was super friendly, like over the top friendly, and the drinks were pouring and it was just fun. You know, that first little like raft game we did, where we ran to the rafts and go, like people, it was really fun. So I was like, I think there was a moment where James and Bethan were talking and they're like, this group of cast is like really cool. Everybody seems really awesome. Cause that was right away. The vibes were really awesome. I was like, everybody's fun and laid back. And the coolest thing to me for being on the Bachelor, Bachelorette and ABC and everything was people were just like being themselves. Like there weren't people who were like trying to be perfect or people who were like trying to say the right things at the right time. Like it was just, everybody was just being themselves and being fun and just letting loose. And that never happens on Bachelor, Bachelorette. So.
No. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, I can see everybody.
Yours is way different.
I can actually touch these people. That was very different.
So why did you grab the eggplant as your raft?
That's actually a good question. So my strategy was to find the longest, skinniest raft, because I was like, I can just put it between my legs and paddle like a canoe, which I base technically won. They didn't show this, but I dove across when Johnny won. No, I dove across Johnny, but he kept running to the top.
Oh, okay.
So I was like,
I don't think we'll ever see Blake admit that he actually takes an L. I don't lose any time.
But yeah, that was my strategy with the eggplant raft. And then I popped it halfway through.
Yeah,
wow.
You popped it.
It was loud when it popped. Yeah, it was funny.
I had a duck. I didn't show my duck. We got really close.
So were you guys happy like with your teammates when you first saw them? Obviously we know you had a bit of a bromance right off the bat. Like,
yeah,
me and I don't know the names yet. I can't remember all the names, but your partner
it was James. So right off the bat I was like, fuck yes, we're the only team. I mean, that's not true. Vanjie and Ricardo had a team and me and James had a team. But all I mean, male. Just, yeah, like one of the first, one of the only two all male teams. Mm-hmm. So I was like, fuck yes, like this is awesome. And James seemed really cool. And like, you know, big and strong and athletic. So I was like, fuck yeah, like we got this in the bag.
And I know
150K in the bank, baby. Yeah. So, and so I was so, really excited. Yeah.
I was so really excited.
Since I've known you a little bit now, G, you're super competitive. And you were I can't remember your partner's name, that's for sure.
Karime.
Karime,
but she is so no, I know. Yeah, but she's all about plastic.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, like
she doesn't like exercise, she likes surgery, plastic.
Yeah. So honestly, you being competitive, what were your thoughts when you were like, were you like, oh shit, or like we're gonna have some fun?
I was definitely both. At first I was like, because she came in last. And I was like
way
last. Yeah.
And I was like, we were cheering her on.
Yeah.
Well, that's because she all of her buoyancy is keeping her afloat out there.
We're like, okay, whoever gets her, like, I feel really bad for them. And then it's me. But then I got the gold star because we got, you know, the same number or whatever. And anyway, we just had I don't want to give too much away, but like we got lucky as fuck the entire time. So she got lucky because I could also translate for her every single time. Like she would literally look at me and be like, what are we doing? I'm like, so I would translate for her. So it was like a fate type of thing that we got paired together. As far as like the brawn versus this brawn, I was definitely the heavy. I was the man in the whole team. But no, at the end of the day, I was like, if this was the perfect team for me, even though I wish I could have been.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
As far as castmates, like you just talked about some of the first impressions, who did you think you were going to vibe with the most? And like, who were you like, oh man, this one might be some trouble.
You go first.
For me, it was Johnny. It was Johnny who I like vibed with right away from Love Island. Mm-hmm. And speaking of real quick, like it's funny how we talked about all the shore. I sat down the other day and looked and it's half shore people and half not shore. It's kind of crazy. Yeah. So as much as this is a shore show.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I mean, neither. I like sat down and I was like, oh shit. But so Johnny, love show, you know, from America, like, you know, Love Island, a guy like so right away I vibed with him pretty good. Like we were chatting that first right on the beach at the beginning. And then the one person who, I wasn't sure about was Joey. He comes off very cocky, you know what I mean? You know, you'll see more as the show goes on, but that was somebody who I was like, I don't know yet. Like we'll see. But I need to get to know him more. That was my first impression.
With me, I vibed with all the guys, like all of them. They were just a little bit, well, all the girls were really sweet. Chloe was really sweet. Trina was really cute. Marina, but I guess I warm up easier when it's like men, because girls, I don't know, I guess we all just kind of think, what are you doing here?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So that was just right off the bat. I really like Johnny. I really like Blake. I liked Joey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Joey was nice to me.
Mm-hmm. I feel like Joey's nice to everybody.
Yeah. He's a nice.
Yeah. He's a very nice guy. He just has a lot. He
loves himself.
Yeah.
That's one way to put it.
Yeah. He loves himself a lot.
You'll see more of that to come. So
we saw quite a bit of a connection like forming with you two last night. Like what was the first thing you noticed, like going, I guess, into the villa, the house, and when did that kind of spark between you guys? Because there were a couple cute moments this week.
We definitely pretty quickly, I remember being, so we were all in that like little cabana right there at the beginning. And I remember seeing her and being really excited because I was like, oh, thank God. Like, I think I'm going to be into this girl. Otherwise, I was like, oh man, I really am just here for the game, you know? So I didn't really vibe with anybody else. But
what a tragedy.
There was a moment when I remember Johnny ran up next to her and started talking to her. And I got like a little like, oh, damn it. And I remember I went up stood on the couch kind of behind you. And we ended up talking. I was like, oh, like she's cute. And I don't know, something about you're like you're confident, but not in like an arrogant way. So like I was like drawn to like your confidence. And there's that cute little arm guy. That's what I wanted to tell. So that's sort of
it seemed like when she veiled herself to go to the hot tub, kind of like.
By then, I already knew. I was like, I'm getting in fully clothed if I have to at that point. But
by then, he was already giving me like the eyes.
Oh, we would. Oh my God. And we were always found each other standing next to us. Yeah, each other.
Next to each other.
And like, I remember during that, so that beer pong day or game was freezing cold out, like freezing. And I remember she would cuddle underneath my arm like this while we were standing next to each other. Yeah, while we were standing next to each other. So just like cute little things. Like, I kind of felt like it was like kicking in the shin on recess type thing. You know, it was like cute little things. But there was a big moment. When they said, you know, run to a raft, right? So it was like, you're going to pick your teammate. And then they kind of hesitated. And G fucking,
she just
grabbed my arm.
Yeah. I literally just went, and then you turn around, you go.
I looked at her and I went like this.
Yeah.
And I could see in her face. She was like,
I was like, damn it. Why did I do that? My instincts like totally betrayed me.
Like she put all the cards on the table right away. She was like, mine.
Yeah.
And then they were like, when you grab a raft, and then she let go and you're like, okay. Yeah. But it was funny. I was like, oh yes, she's into me. Like, oh, yes. So there was actually quite a bit that happened.
The first
3 days. You for sure. You made out with another guy. So
yeah, that was good. I was going to say, how awkward was
because
that's your teammate, number one. That's your partner throughout this show. And she just made out with both you guys in the hot tub, like within, I don't know how, was that like 30 seconds? And I think last night you said you had your hand on her leg.
I did. I was like, my hand on her leg. She just licked my neck. And
I didn't want our first kiss to be.
No, I get it. I really do. I do get it. And I said the same thing. I said the same thing.
Yeah. We both felt the same.
But, I think it was just like, it was night two.
Yeah,
it was night two. So it wasn't like I was like fucking pissed off. You know what I mean? It was like we were still getting to know each other. Yeah. It wasn't like it was like, oh boy,
this is
over, fuck her. You know, it wasn't like that at all. We're pretty level-headed people. But it was like, I was just kind of one of those moments of like, well, fuck me. I thought she liked me. Yes, she doesn't. It was kind of one of those moments of like, well, okay. Moving on.
But I thought it was obvious that I liked you because I didn't kiss you.
I thought it was obvious too. Until your tongue was down, Jay's
Well, in my defense, they switched the rules on me. Like, I didn't know. And they didn't show that after I kissed James, they go, Gigi, no, like, you didn't have to kiss him, blah, blah. And I'm like, why didn't anybody tell me that when I was leaning in to kiss him? Like, you know, or while I was kissing him. No one said anything. And then afterwards, you can see my face in the hot tub. I'm pissed.
Yeah, she was like,
look, you guys.
Because I was like, okay, I'm getting out of the hot tub. Yeah. I was like, I'm out of here.
And then that night, he put me in the doghouse. I had to, like, I went back to him. Like, it was just quiet.
I was doing one of those, like, don't make eye contact.
Yeah, don't make eye contact. He would not make eye contact with me. It hurt me so much. But I'm honestly grateful that happened because that just, like, fast-tracked a lot for me. To be like, okay, it's Blake. Like, no doubt in my mind, it's Blake.
It's really interesting, yeah, because I wonder what would have happened had you and James, like, how much longer it would have taken us to get to where we
needed
to
be in.
Or if there would have been some drama that ensued if it would have kept going.
If we were still, like, cat and mouse, you know?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. But yeah. I think after that, it was just like, done is done.
It was kind of funny, like, the boys kind of, like, C-blocked you a little bit.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. And we really were only in there for like 30 seconds.
I was so excited.
They came jumping in. It's so funny. I was like, what the fuck? But I didn't realize they were in that room watching. You know, it's really cool to watch back. I mean, it's a lot like Paradise, I guess, or even probably Love is Blind, but like you see conversations happening that, you know, we had no idea what that was, you know what I mean? So like that was, or like, I had no idea about the Chloe making out with Karina. Like, I don't remember that at all. Her being like, am I a lesbian? Yep, I'm a lesbian. Yeah. Like, I don't remember any of that happening.
I remember that because Karima is was my roommate. So she would tell me, she'd be like, yeah, me and Chloe. I was like, oh yeah. And then
you'll see
who she ends up with.
Show is so funny.
Which is really fun, actually.
Give us spoiler.
No.
Just kidding. Won't get you guys in trouble.
No.
So going back to like even like that little awkward moment, like it did seem like even like the editing, the production piece of it, it seemed like they did a fun twist on it. Like even James had fun with it. He's like, yo, I think I did my man a favor there. Yeah. And like you just talked about, G, like he kind of did, like, you know, you sampled a little bit of both and like
my neck tasted better.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Like,
But yeah, I agree. So far, we're two episodes in. Mm-hmm. And like I said, we don't know how the show's going to be edited, moving, you know what I mean, moving forward. Right. Before we're the OG season, so we have no idea what the show is going to look like, finished product, mm-hmm. which is kind of cool. It's really cool to be like the first season of something, but it's also scary because we don't know what to expect. And so far, I fucking love the way the show's been edited.
I think the tone has been set.
They're doing a phenomenal job. Totally. They're showing, in my opinion, they're showing what Bachelor and Bachelorette show during credits or show as bloopers. Yeah. They're showing all that funny stuff. When we can't pronounce names, we can't fucking use the microwave, when we're falling down. Like, they don't, you know what I mean? They're showing the funny bloopers as part of the show. So right now, I absolutely love what they've done with the show.
Connor Moran and you trying to speak Spanish.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Chloe trying to speak Spanish. And there's been a couple times where they've stared right at the camera. It's like The Office style. Like they're staring right at the camera and saying stuff. And like, I know there's moments where there's fights going on around me and I'd pull a gym and look at the camera and be like, what the fuck? So like they're breaking that fourth wall, which I think it's about time a reality television show does that.
They wanted to, that's what they told me.
Yeah, that's what they told me too. Mm-hmm. They were like, we want to break the fourth wall. So
yeah,
pretty cool.
I wish that they did that with Love is Blind too, because it's just, I was like, really? Like, I cracked so many jokes and it was just, there was so many fun things that happened in between all this drama. And that's exactly what they're doing here. They're just literally making it so lighthearted and fun and real in like the most unreal of scenarios, you know, like on a villa on top of a canyon and you're doing like all these crazy like challenges. I feel like they did a really great job balancing that.
Yeah. So far, so good. I'm happier than I thought I would be for sure.
Me too.
Yeah.
So. We were very pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that just totally answered my next question. Because I was going to ask what you thought your favorite differences was between the two episodes and the two worlds you guys come from to the Viacom Paramount Plus production.
So I've talked about it a little bit. I'll touch base on it again because, you know, I think we might have some new viewers for this episode. But the coolest thing, and I actually didn't know this when I signed the contract because I would have done it. I would have been excited like you. I would have not even thought about it. But there was a ruling in the Supreme Court in like the 70s or 80s where for game shows, production cannot manipulate the contestants because if a producer likes somebody in the contestant, they can help them win the money. And it happened back in the 70s or 80s, whenever it was. And so it's kind of crazy. They're literally not allowed to manipulate us because we can sue them because the outcome can be changed for the money that's on the line. So that is something completely different. We have confessionals. There aren't producers asking you questions. You just sit in a confessional and you just talk. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very different for me anyway, because production would eat every single interview. They would ask questions that lead to a certain answer or lead to a certain outcome that they want. So very different in that aspect.
Yeah, no, I never felt produced.
No, never, ever felt produced.
Yeah. And also I didn't feel any sort of pressure, even if there was so much like $150,000 on the line. And I never felt like I had to do like a certain thing. I just wanted to go out there and like give it my all and have fun. And that was just so refreshing because you don't get to experience that really in reality. I don't feel like they're always wanting something. And everybody was just so full of it that it just happened all naturally, you know? Mm-hmm. So they never like pulled us aside and said, okay, now you got to go do this. It was just like, nope, this is happening, you know? So it was just all very naturally progressed, which it wrote itself, quote unquote.
Yeah.
So I can't let you leave without asking you, what happened with you and Angelina in these first two episodes? Why does she just seem to like have a hatred towards you right now?
I don't know.
What did you do?
I didn't do a single thing to this woman. I really just related it to my time on social media when people like trolls come at you for absolutely no reason. And either I triggered her by reminding her of somebody or made her feel some sort of way with like a joke or something, which I don't know her. I wasn't ever trying to make her feel anything other than like, hey, let's all have fun. But like at the end of the day, I really feel like she just came at me because I looked like an easy target to her, you know, probably just like a girl that likes to dress cute and is like talking to, you know, these guys and she doesn't like it. She thought that I was grimy. And really, I'm just doing what every single person on that shore was doing, which was just getting to know everybody and having fun. But I think she just didn't like me.
Yeah, and I think I'll take responsibility for a little bit, because I think Angelina was a little protective of me for whatever reason. So I think when the hot tub incident happened,
she didn't like me before that. That was just her excuse to come at me even harder. She was already like giving me shit.
That might be my fault, because I did tell Angelina, like, I was like, look out for my boy down there.
Yeah. And like, I had talked to Angelina here. Yeah. We knew each other.
Yeah.
So she was like a little protective of me and everything. I think that was some of it.
That triggered her even more.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, definitely. Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah. But keep watching. Some pretty crazy stuff happens. So keep watching. It's
definitely, you're not going to expect what happens. You're just not.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I'm very proud.
I think after watching the Jersey Shore last week, we know where Angelina's at currently. So
yeah. And
Angelina's gonna get a lot of screen time. We'll say that. Angelina's gonna get a lot of screen time.
She clearly had a lot going on in her personal life going into the show. Yeah. So like, she probably like was just mentally just a wreck. Like, she probably saw a beautiful single woman. Like, God, I want to be doing this shit with these guys.
That's what I was going to say too. It's like, don't be mad at me because you're married and I'm not, and I can have fun, but you can't technically.
Well, and just like, also like, Angelina is Angelina. We've known Angelina. Oh, yeah. Angelina's been on our TV for
20 years.
Like, she makes phenomenal television. She does. She is what I would say is, she's like rough on the outside and then a teddy bear on the inside. Yeah. And so once you break through the barrier, but like, she's a tough girl. She is. She's a Jersey girl. She's a Jersey girl. You know, we've seen it.
I was honored that she came after me first.
Yeah. That is actually that. Yeah. Honestly, yeah. Like, yeah. All right. Cool. Yeah. Like, if you're on the Queen's radar first, like, you're doing something right.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like, if the haters hate you or anything, like, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I even said it. I don't know if they'll show it, but I was like, I'm pretty glad that it was me first. I don't know if anybody else would have handled it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a crazy couple of days down there right off the bat. I mean, you saw me a couple of times being like, I'm not in Kansas anymore. I was pretty wide-eyed, bushy-tailed down there. So.
I was surprised you didn't go with, we're not in Bailey. A little smaller.
Yeah. Well, I'm not at the mansion anymore. That's what I
said. So we'll wrap up with this one. So what do we have to look forward to as an audience for the, I guess there's 8 more episodes to be released.
So much. Like, I can't, like, even now watching these first two episodes, like, oh yeah, that happened. Oh yeah, that happened. A lot of drama, of course. There's some things that even I'm not entirely sure that happened because I wasn't part of it, but there are some big, big moments, I think, for some people down there that cause, I think, in my opinion, they changed the games a couple times because of what was happening. They had to, like, get little impromptu things and things like that, because there was a lot that happened down there that they were not expecting. So I think you have that to look forward to. And from what I've heard, you know, I've talked to a couple producers, it's funny, like, just more incredibly funny stuff that happened. Like, the coolest thing about the show is, like you kind of said, we're not taking ourselves seriously. The show's not taking themselves seriously. It's just fun. We're making fun of each other. They're making fun of us as a production, you know, as editors, like, and we're in on the joke. I think that's the coolest part, is like, we're in on it. Like, we're just going to have fun. And we did some just ridiculous things down on those beach. Yeah.
I think, well,
just
you're
just ridiculous.
You're never going to be bored ever. It's not a boring watch at all. And you're really going to fall in love with so many people on there. Every single challenge brings something new, and every single reward brings something new, and people get closer, people, you know, fall apart. And I think that just watching that dynamic progression of how there's like literal character arcs in just 10 episodes, apart from like all the craziness that's happening on the beach, that's just like really cool, because you get to really like bond and see where people come from, especially because everyone's so different and like from all different parts of the world. I feel like you're never going to feel like, you know, one way or the other. You're always going to feel like connected in some way, which is what we felt. That's why I'm saying that.
I was going to talk about the diversity is amazing. And like, you guys are going to, Americans that are listening to this, like, you're going to fall in love with some of these characters, some of these Brits and Karima and Marina and just everybody, Ricardo. Like, it's so cool to see the funny cultural differences and the,
and we all blend together.
Yeah, I had a British accent by the time I was like that.
We all have like the same weird ass lingo.
Yeah. So you have a lot to look forward to, put it that way. We have a lot to look forward to, and we're only two episodes in. We still got eight left. So every Wednesday, guys. And Paramount Plus, guys, you get it anyway. The new season of Yellowstone is starting in Paramount Plus. Everything for CBS, MTV is moving to Paramount Plus, so you might as well buy it now, you know? So
look at that plug.
Yeah.
Man, I was about to have to ask, like, so where can they find you guys? What do you guys, what do you guys work on?
Well, you can find Blake on my Instagram half the time now. My Instagram is my name, Gina Jabelli, my TikTok. And he has his own personal mission to show all the dumb shit that I do when I don't want to.
I am going to post all the funny stuff of her. So I feel, and I hope you do, like.
No, for sure.
Yeah. Because like, I think, you know, at least for me, you've had a bit of a public relationship. For me, I think, you know, I haven't had somebody who's like around 24/7 to like document me, you know, like genuinely, you know.
I already did.
Yeah, you did on all those, that fucking TikTok.
Yeah.
So like, yeah. So I think it's just going to be fun to like show a side that people haven't really seen. So yeah, she's Gina Jabelli on Instagram. I'm Balake.h on Instagram. Go follow her on TikTok. Same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeannie and Jabillion on TikTok. And I'm Balake on TikTok, but I got to get better at that.
I guess I do have actually two more things I just thought of while we were trying to wrap here. I'm horrible at this thing. So I'm not good at leading. But like seeing you DJ last night was pretty cool on TV. How is that for you? Like actually do it? Because I've watched the challenge forever. And after every challenge, they always have the club scene. And to see you actually DJing it was pretty damn cool. And especially because it was the old ass computer and I bought you that whatever the, yeah, the what do they call that?
Yeah, the logo.
And I was like, that's our thing from 3 years ago. So
yeah. So funny you say that, because when they first reached out, you know, for me to be cast on the show, they didn't know I DJed. You know what I mean? They didn't really know that was a passion of mine. But the second they found out, they were like a light bulb. They're like, hell yes.
Yeah.
We'd love to get you on the show to DJ. And at first I was like, okay, but they just kept on it. They were like, what do you need from us? What, you know, what kind of controller do you need? All of this. And I was like, oh my God, they're actually going to let me DJ on the show. And then they let me 3 days in. They let me right away DJ. And I was like, ABC would fucking never, like ABC would never, or they would let me DJ and then take 30% of every DJ gig post show. So ABC would never. So that was something that was so cool about this show. I was like, they really are letting us shine in our own ways, and incredibly supportive. So yeah, that was pretty awesome. And there's more. There's some more to come with all that. But it was really, really.
He was DJ Blake for sure.
Yeah, and everybody was like, "That was my."
Everyone's calling you DJ Blake.
It was like DJ Blake.
Yeah. Because he would play the best music. They had like this like little playlist, and we'd be like, and then
That was while they were recording, right?
Yeah, they had like pre-approved music, and then they'd let me play for like 30, 40 minutes. And you know, then everybody would be going nuts. So yeah, it was really, really cool for them.
I was going to ask too, because obviously Blake had his DJing moment with your fashion line. Were you able to wear your like original pieces there or no?
No, I didn't have them yet.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Because I remember we did the photo shoot in the snow.
Yeah.
House, actually.
Yeah.
No, I would have though, but they did, you know, just encourage me to wear whatever I wanted. And I feel like they definitely took care of me too, because like Love is Blind didn't have like hair and makeup or anything. This, like, they actually gave a shit if you looked good or not. Mm-hmm. Like with him, with his DJing, they wanted him to look good. Mm-hmm. And I like got a little taste. I was like, okay, he's a DJ. I'm like, all right, great. And then I get out into the real world and I'm like, oh shit, you're actually a real DJ.
I get that.
Not the bar was that low or anything. I thought you were great. And now I'm just traveling with you to most of your gigs now. And it's just like, it's great to just see you like grow and like in your skill set and your craftsmanship. I really enjoy it.
And do you guys want to show off the rings, by the way, since you're in?
All right, let me just put it straight here. This, I just got it, I don't know, from Etsy. This, it's my mom's from Venezuela like 20 years ago. This is from a brand partnership. This is the only ring, because I have fat fingers, that it fits in. And then my dad gave me this one.
But maybe keep writing articles.
But I didn't Blake, know, I was talking about this before. No.
And Blake's not wearing his today, so.
Keep watching.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, guys. That was fun. It's been a long time.
First interview, our first podcast. Nailed it.
That was horrible.
That was worse. There we go.
Man, maybe my name's going to be in the publications now.
cool. Well, thanks for listening, guys. And we'll have Gian probably quite a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so. We're going to have to do this every week and recap your episodes now.
So, yeah, watch All Star Shore.
Streaming now on Paramount Plus.
Thanks for listening to Behind the Rose podcast. It would mean the world if you could leave a rating and a review and follow the podcast to be notified of new episodes every Wednesday. Plus, be sure to follow us on Instagram at Behind the Rose Podcast and follow each of us, me at Balake.h and Eric at E.Brad56. And remember, don't believe everything you see on TV. It's not all sunshine and roses.